He leaned his elbows on his knees, his chin in his hands.
Vine, it's a shame.
What's a shame, kid boy?
To be washed up at my age, a has-been. To have to grapple with the fact that this is it.
He was talking about Golden again. You still have a chance. Most of the time it doesn't come out till puberty.
I've been pubescent since I was 9, Buster.
Excuse me.
I feel cramped in, Vine. There's all that night out there to grow up in, to explore.
There was a time when the whole species was confined to the surface, give or take a few feet up and down, of a single planet. You've got a whole galaxy to run around in. You've seen a lot of it, yeah, but not all.
But there are billions of galaxies out there. I want to see them. In all the stars around here, there hasn't been one life form discovered that's based on anything but silicon or carbon. I overheard two Golden in a bar once talking. There's something in some galaxy out there that's as big as a star and neither alive nor dead and sings. I want to hear it, Vine.
Ratlet, you can't fight reality.
Oh, go to sleep, Grandpa.
He closed his eyes and bent his head back until the cords of his neck quivered.
What is it that makes a Golden? A combination of physiological and psychological... what?
It's primarily some sort of hormonal imbalance, as well as an environmentally conditioned thalamic personality response.
Yeah, yeah. And that X-chromosome heredity nonsense they just connected it up with a few years back. But all I know is that they can take the stasis shift from galaxy to galaxy, where you and I, Vine, if we get more than 20,000 light years off the rim, we're dead.
Insane at 20,000, dead at 25.
The same difference. Oh, you know, I stole the Golden Belt? I rolled it off a staggering slob about a week ago who came out of a bar and collapsed on the corner. I went across the pit to Calle J, where no one knows me, and wore around for a few hours, just to see if I felt different.
Ratlet had lengths of gut that astounded me about once a day. You did?
I didn't, but people walking around me did. Wearing that 2-inch band of yellow metal around my waist, nobody in the world could tell I wasn't a Golden. Just walking by on the street without talking to me a while or making hormone tests. And wearing that belt, I learned just how much I hated Golden. Because I could suddenly see in almost everyone who came by how much they hated me while I had that metal belt on. I threw it over the edge. But maybe I'll steal another one.
You really hate them, Ratlet?
Sure,
I talk about them. Sometimes they're a pain to work for, but it's not their fault we can't take the reality shift.
I'm just a child, incapable of such fine reasoning. I hate them.
You look back at the night.
How can you stand to be trapped by anything, Vaughn?
Three memories crowded into my head when he said that. First, I was standing at the railing of the East River, runs past this New York I was telling you about, at midnight, looking at the illuminated dragon of the Manhattan Bridge that spanned the water. Then, at the industrial fires flickering in bright, smoky Brooklyn, and then at the template of Mercury street lamps behind me, bleaching out the playground and most of Houston Street. Then, at the reflection in the water, here like crinkled foil, there like glistening rubber. At last, looked up at the midnight sky itself. It wasn't black, but dead pink without a star. This glittering world made the sky a roof that pressed down on me so I almost screamed. That time, the next night, I was 27 light-years away from Sol on my first star run. Second, I was visiting my mother after my first few years out. I was looking for something in the closet when this contraption of plastic straps and buckles fell on my head. What's this, Ma? And she smiled with a look of idiot nostalgia.
Why, that's your little harness, Vimey. Your first father and I would take you on picnics up at Bear Mountain and put you in that and tie you to a tree with about 10 feet of cord so you wouldn't get lost.
I didn't hear the rest because of the horror that suddenly flooded me, thinking of myself tied up in that thing. Okay, I was 20 and had just joined that beautiful procreation group a year back on Sigma and was the proud father of three and expecting two more. The 163 of us had a whole beach and 9 miles of jungle and half a mountain to ourselves. Maybe I was seeing Antony, caught up in that thing, trying to catch a bird or a beetle or a wave, with only 10 feet of cord. I hadn't worn clothes for anything but work in a 12-month, and I was chomping to get away from that incredible place I'd grown up in, called an apartment and back to wives, husbands, kids, and civilization. Anyway, it was pretty terrible. Third, it was after I had left the pro group, fled them, I suppose, guilty and embarrassed over something I couldn't name, still having nightmares once a month that woke me screaming about what was going to happen to the kids, even though I knew one point of group marriage was to prevent the loss of one, two, or three parents being traumatic, still wondering if I wasn't making the same mistakes my parents made, hoping my brood wouldn't turn out like me, or worse, like the kids you sometimes read about in the paper, like Ratlet, though I hadn't met him yet. Horribly suspicious that no matter how different I tried to be from my sires, it was just the same thing all over again. Anyway, I was on the ship, bringing me to the star pit for the first time. I'd gotten talking to a Golden, who, as Golden go, was a pretty regular gal. We'd been discussing inter- and intergalactic drives. She was impressed I knew so much. I was impressed that she could use them and know so little. She was digging in a very girl way the 6'4", 210-pound drive mechanic with mildly grimy fingernails that was me. I was digging in a very boy way the slim, amber-eyed young lady who had seen it all. From the view deck, we watched the immense artificial disk of the star pit approach, when she turned to me and said in a voice that didn't sound cruel at all,
"This is as far as you go, isn't it?"
And I was frightened all over again, because I knew that on about 9 different levels, she was right. Ratlet said,
"I know what you're thinking."
A couple of times when he felt like being quiet and I felt like talking, I may have told him more than I should have.
"Well, cue that for me, Dad. That's how trapped I feel."
I laughed, and Ratlet looked very young again. "Come on, let's take a walk."
"Yeah. I want to go see Allegra."
"I'll walk you far as Calle G. Then I'm going to go to bed."
"I wonder what Allegra thinks about this business. I always find Allegra a very good person to talk to. Well, not to put you down, but her experiences are a little more up-to-date than yours. But you have to admit, she has a modern point of view. Plus the fact that she's older."
Older than Ratlet, anyway. She was 15. I don't think being trapped ever really bothered her that way, which may be a place to take a lesson from. By Ratlet's standards, Allegra had a few things over me. In my youth, kids took to dope in their teens, 20s. Allegra was born with a 300-milligram-a-day habit on a bizarre narcotic that combined the psychedelic qualities of the most powerful hallucinogens with the addictiveness of the strongest depressants. I can sympathize. Allegra's mother was addicted, and the tolerance was passed with the blood plasma through the placental wall. Ordinarily, a couple of complete transfusions at birth would have gotten the newborn child straight, but Allegra was also a highly projective telepath. She projected the horrors of birth, the glories of her infantile, hallucinated world on befuddled doctors. She was given her drug. Without too much difficulty, she managed to be given her drug every day since. Once I asked Allegra when she'd first heard of Golden, and she came back with this horror story. A lot were coming back from Tiber 44 cluster with psychic shock. The mental condition of Golden is pretty delicate, and sometimes very minor conflicts nearly ruin them. Anyway, the government that was sponsoring the importation of micro-microsurgical equipment from some tiny planet in that galaxy, to protect its interests, hired Allegra, age 8, as psychiatric therapist.
"I'd concretize their fantasies and make them work 'em through. In just a couple of hours, I'd have 'em back to their old, mean, stupid selves again. Some of them were pretty nice when they came to me."
But there was a lot of work for her. Projective telepaths are rare. So they started withholding her drug to force her to work harder, then rewarding her with increased dosage.
"Up till then, I might have kicked it. But when I came away, they had me on double what I used to take. They pushed me past the point where withdrawal would be fatal. But I could have kicked it up till then, Vine."
"That's right. Age 8. Oh, yeah. The drug was imported by Golden from Cancer 9, and most of it goes through the star pit. Allegra came here because illegal imports are easier to come by, and you can get it for just about nothing, if you want it. Golden don't use it." The wind lessened as Ratlet and I started back. Ratlet began to whistle. In Calle K, the first night lamp had broken, so the level street was a tunnel of black. "Ratlet, where do you think you'll be in, oh, say, 5 years?"
"Quiet. I'm trying to get to the end of the street without bumping into the walls or tripping on something or some other catastrophe. If we get through the next 5 minutes, all right, I'll worry about the next 5 years."
"Trip? Bump the walls?"
"I'm listening for echoes."
I put my hands in my overall pouch and went on quietly while Ratlet did the bat bit. Then there was a catastrophe, though I didn't realize it at the time. Into the circle of light from the remaining lamp at the other end of the street walked a golem. His hands went up to his face, and he was laughing. The sound skittered in the street. His belt was low on his belly, the way the really down and broke. I just thought of a better way to describe him. The resemblance struck me immediately. He looked like Sandy, my mechanic, who is short, 24 years old, muscled like an ape, and wears his worn-out work clothes even when he's off duty.
"I just want this job for a while, boss. I'm not staying out here at the star pit. As soon as I save up a little, I'm going to make it back in toward Galactic Center. It's funny out here. Like dead."
He gazes up through the opening in the hangar roof where there are no clouds and no stars either.
"Yeah, I'm just going to be out here for a little while."
"Fine with me, kid boy." That was 3 months back, like I say. He's still with me. He works hard, too, which puts him a cut above a lot of characters out here. There's something about Sandy. On the other hand, Sandy's face is also hacked up with acne. His hair is always napped short over his wide head. But in these aspects, the Golden was exactly Sandy's opposite, come to think of it. There was still something about him. The Golden staggered, went down on his knees, still laughing, then collapsed. By the time we reached him, he was silent. With the toe of his boot, Ratlet nudged the hand from the belt buckle. It flopped, palm up, on the pavement. The little fingernail was 3/4 of an inch long, the way a lot of the Golden wear it. Like his face, the tips of Sandy's fingers are all masticated wrecks. Still something.
Now, isn't that something? But what do you want to do with him, Vine?
Nothing. Let him sleep it off.
We'll just leave him so somebody can come along and steal his belt? Well, I'm not that nasty.
Weren't you just telling me how much you hated Golden?
I'd be nasty to whoever stole the belt and wore it. Nobody but a Golden should be hated that much.
Ratlet, let's go. But he had already kneeled down and was shaking his shoulder.
Let's get into Allegra's and find out what's the matter with him.
He's just drunk.
Nope. Because he don't smell funny.
Look, get back. I hoisted the Golden up and laid him across my shoulder, fireman's carry. You start moving. I think you're crazy.
Thanks. Hey, maybe he'll be grateful and lay some lepta on me for taking him in off the street.
You don't know Golden. But if he does, split it with me.
Oh, sure.
2 blocks later, we reached Allegra's place. The Golden was light, so I didn't have much trouble. Halfway up the tilting stairs, Ratlet said,
"She's in a good mood."
I guess she is. The weight across my shoulders was becoming pleasant. I can't describe Allegra's place. I can describe a lot of places like it. And I can describe it before she moved in because I knew a derelict named Drunk Roach who slept on the floor before she did. You know what never-wear plastics look like when they wear out? What non-rust metals look like when they rust through? It was a shabby, cracked wall cubicle with dirt in the corners and scars on the window panes when Drunk Roach had his pile of blankets in the corner. But since the hallucinating projective telepath took it over, who knows what it had become. Ratlet opened the door on an explosion of classical beauty.
Come in.
Accompanied by symphonic arrangements scored on 24 staves with full chorus.
What's that you're carrying, Vaughn? Oh, it's a Golden.
And before me, dizzying tides of yellow swirled and melted.
Put him down. Put him down quick and let's see what's wrong.
Hundreds of eyes, spotlights, glittering lenses. I lowered him to the mattress in the corner. And the Golden lay on orange silk pillows in a teak barge drawn by swans, accompanied by flutes and drums.
Where did you find him?
Circling against the ivory moon on her broom. We watched the glowing barge, hundreds of feet below, sliding down the silvered waters between the crags.
We just picked him up off the street. Vine thought he was drunk, but he don't smell.
Was he laughing?
Laughter rolled and broke open on the rock.
Yeah, just before he collapsed.
Then he must be from the Undock expedition that just got back.
Mosquitoes darted at us through the wet fronds. The insects reeled among the leaves, upsetting the droplets that fell like glass as barely visible beyond the palms, the barge drifted on the bright, sweltering river. That's right. I backpaddled frantically to avoid a hippopotamus that threatened to upset my kayak. I'd forgotten they'd just come in.
Okay, I'm out of it. Let me in. Where did they come back from?
Ratlet's breath clouded in front of his lips. The snow hissed beneath the runners as we looked after the barge, nearly at the white horizon.
Undock, of course.
The barking grew fainter.
Where did you think?
White eclipsed to black, and the barge was a spot gleaming in the distance of galactic night, flown on by laboring comets. Undock is the furthest galaxy reached yet. They just got back last week.
Sick.
I dug my fingers against my abdomen, trying to grab the pain.
They all came back sick.
Fever heated blood bubbles in my eyes, and I slipped to the ground, my mouth wide, my tongue like paper on my lips.
All right, Allegra, cut it out. You don't have to be so dramatic.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ratty. Vine.
Cool. Water. Nausea swept away as solicitous nurses hastily put the pieces back together, until everything was beautiful. Or so austerely horrible it could be appreciated as beauty.
Anyway, they came back with some sort of disease they picked up out there. Apparently it's not contagious, but they're stuck with it for the rest of their lives. Every few days they suddenly have a blackout. It's preceded by a fit of hysterics. It's just one of those stupid things they can't do anything about yet. Doesn't hurt their being Golden.
How long are they passed out for?
Only a few hours. Must be terribly annoying.
And I began to feel mildly itchy in all sorts of unscratchable places. My shoulder blades, somewhere down my ear, the roof of my mouth. Have you ever tried to scratch the roof of your mouth?
Well, let's sit down and wait it out.
We can talk. That way it won't seem like such a long...
And hundreds of years later, she finished.
Time.
Good. I wanted to talk to you. That's why I came up here in the first place.
Oh, fine. I love to talk. I want to talk about love. Loving someone.
An incredible yearning twisted my stomach, rose to block my throat.
I mean really loving someone.
The yearning brushed the edge of agony.
Means you are willing to admit the person you love is not what you first fell in love with, not the image you first had. And you must be able to like them still, for being as close to that image as they are, and avoid disliking them for being so far away.
And through the tenderness that suddenly obliterated all hurt, Ratlet's voice came from the jeweled mosaic of overlapping masks that shielded him.
Allegra, I want to talk about loneliness.
I'm on my way home, kids. Tell me what happens to Prince Charming when he wakes up. They kept on talking while I went through the difficulties of finding my way out without Allegra's help. When my head cleared halfway down the stairs, I couldn't tell you if I'd been there 5 minutes or 5 years. When I got to the hangar the next morning, Sandy was filing the 8-foot prongs on the conveyor up on the scaffold.
You got a job coming in about 20 minutes.
I hope it's not another of those rebuilt jobs.
Yeah.
Hell, I don't want to see another one for 6 weeks.
All he wants is a general tune-up, maybe 2 hours.
Depends on where it's been. Where has it been?
Just back from...
Never mind. I think I'll put the books in order for the last 6 months. Can't let it go forever.
Boss, that'll take all day.
Then I better get started. I leaned back out the door.
Don't disturb me.
Of course, as soon as the shadow of the hull fell over the office window, I came out in my coveralls, after giving Sandy 5 minutes to get it grappled and himself worried. I took the lift up to the 150 catwalk. When I stepped out, Sandy threw me a grateful smile from his scar-ugly face. The Golden had already started his instructions. When I reached them and coughed, the Golden turned to me and continued talking, not bothering to fill me in on what he'd said before, figuring Sandy and I would put it together. You could tell this Golden had made his pile. He wore an immaculate blue tunic with bronze codpiece, bracelets, and earrings. His hair was the same bronze. His skin was burned red-black, and his blue-gray eyes and tight-muscled mouth were proud, proud, proud. When I finished getting instructions, Sandy quietly got started unwelding the 8-foot seal of the organum so we could get to the checkout circuits. Finally, the Golden stopped talking. That's the only way you could tell he was finished, and leaned his angular 6.5 feet against the railing, clicking his glossy nails against the pipe. I climbed out on the rigging to help Sandy. We had been at work 10 minutes when a kid, maybe 18 or 19, barefoot and brown, black hair hacked off at shoulder length, a rag that didn't fit tucked around under his belt and dirty, came wandering down the catwalk. His thumbs were hooked under the yellow belt. Golden. First I thought he'd come from the ship. Then I realized he'd just stalked into the hangar from outside and come up on the lift.
Hey, brother!
The kid who was a Golden hooked his thumbs in the belt as Sandy and I watched from the rigging on the side of the hull.
Hey, I'm getting tired of hanging around this starpit. It just about broke as well. Where are you running to?
The man who was Golden clicked his nails again.
Go away, distant cousin.
Oh, come on, brother. Give me a berth on your lifeboat out of this dung heap to someplace worthwhile.
Go away, or I'll kill you.
Well, now, brother, I'm just a youngster adrift in this forsaken quarter of the sky. Come on, now.
Suddenly, the blonde man whirled from the railing, grabbed up a 4-foot length of pipe leaning beside him, and swung it so hard it hissed. The black-haired ragamuffin leapt back, and from under his rag snatched something black that, with a flick of that long nail, grew 7 inches of blade. The bar swung again, caught the shoulder of the boy, then clattered against the hull. He shrieked and came straight forward. The two bodies locked, turned, fell, a gurgle, and the man's hand slipped from the neck of the ragamuffin. The boy scrambled back to his feet. Blood bubbled and popped on the hot blade. A last spasm caught the man, and he flipped over, smearing the enameled catwalk, rolled once more, and this time under the rail, and dropped 250 feet to the cement flooring. Flick. Off went the power and the knife. The Golden wiped powdered blood on his thigh and spat over the rail.
No relative of mine.
Flick. The blade itself disappeared. He started down the catwalk.
Hey! What about... I mean you! Where your ship?
There are no inheritance laws among Golden, only rights of plunder. The Golden glanced back and sneered.
I give it to you.
His shoulder must have been killing him, but he stepped into that lift like he was walking into a telephone booth. That's a Golden for you. Sandy was horrified and bewildered. Behind his pitted ugliness, there was that particularly wretched amazement only the totally vulnerable get when hurt. I felt sorry for him. That's the first time you've ever seen an incident like that.
Well, I wandered into Gerg's bar a couple hours after they had that massacre. But the ones who started it were drunk.
Drunk or sober. Believe me, it doesn't make that much difference to the way a man acts. I know. I keep forgetting you've only been here 3 months. Sandy, upset, looked down at the twisted blot on the flooring.
What about him? And the ship, boss?
I'll call a wagon to come scrape him up. The ship's yours.
Huh?
He gave it to you. It'll stand up in court. It just takes one witness. Me.
What am I going to do with it? I mean, I would have to haul it to a junk station to get the salvage. Look, boss, I'm going to give it to you. Sell it or something. I'd feel a sort of funny with it anyway.
I don't want it. Besides, then I'd be involved in the transaction and I couldn't be a witness.
I'll be a witness.
Ratlet stepped from the lift.
I caught the whole bit when I came in the door. Great acoustics in this place. Ceiling is, 120 feet overhead, more or less. How's that, huh?
127.
I need more practice. Hey, come on, Sandy. You give it to him and I'll be a witness.
You're a minor.
Sandy didn't like Ratlet. I used to think it was because Ratlet was violent and flamboyant, where Sandy was stolid and ugly. Even though Sandy kept protesting the temporariness of his job to me, I remember when I first got to the Star Pit, those long, dying thoughts I'd had about leaving. It was a little too easy to see Sandy, a mechanic here, 30 years from now. I wasn't the only one it had happened to. Ratlet had been a grease monkey here 3 weeks. You tell me where he was going to be in 3 more.
Aren't you supposed to be greasing at Polaski's?
Coffee break. If you're going to give it away, Sandy, can I have it?
So you can claim salvage? Hell no.
Well, I don't want it for salvage. I want it for a present. Yeah, to give to someone else. Well, finish the tune-up and give it to me, okay?
You're nuts, kid boy. Even if I gave you the ship, what are you going to pay for the work with?
It'll only take a couple of hours. You're half done anyway. I figured you'd throw in the tune-up along with it. Look, if you really want the money, I'll give it to you a little at a time. Hey, Vine, what sort of professional discount will you give me? I'm just a grease monkey, but I'm still in the business.
I whacked the back of his red head between a little too playfully and not too hard. Come on, kid boy. Help me take care of Puddles downstairs. Sandy, finish it up, huh?
Yeah.
Sandy grunted and plunged both hands back in the organum. As soon as the lift door closed, Ratlet demanded,
You gonna give it to me, Vine?
It's Sandy's ship.
Well, you tell him and he will.
You tell me how the Golden turned out when he came to. I assume that's who you want the ship for? What sort of a fellow was he? Ratlet hooked his fingers in the mesh wall of the lift cage and leaned back.
There are only 2 types of Golden, mean ones and stupid ones.
He was repeating a standard line you heard around the Star Pit. I hope yours is stupid. I was thinking of the two who just ruined Sandy's day and upset mine.
Which is worse?
That's the rest of the line. When a Golden isn't being outright mean, he exhibits the sort of non-thinkingness that gets other people hurt. You remember the one that nearly rammed my ship? Or the ones who didn't bother to bring back the Kyber antitoxin? It can be a lot worse than meanness.
But this one is unbelievably stupid.
Yesterday you hated them. Today you want to give one a ship?
Well, he doesn't have one. And because he's sick, it'll be hard for him to find work unless he has one of his own.
I see. We bounced on the silicon cushion. I pushed open the door and started for the office. What all went on after I left? I must have missed the best part of the evening.
You did. Well, I really need that much more sleep when I pass 35.
Cut the cracks and tell me what happened.
Well,
Ratlet leaned against the office door jamb while I dialed necrotics.
Allegra and I talked a little while after you left, till finally we realized the Golden was awake and listening. Then he told us we were beautiful.
I raised an eyebrow. Hmm?
That's what we said. And he said it again, that watching us talk and think and build was one of the most beautiful things he'd ever seen. What have you seen? We asked him. And he began to tell us. Oh, Vime, the places he's been, the things he's done, the landscapes he's starved in, and the hells where he's had to lie down and go to sleep. He was that tired. Or the heavens he's soared through screaming. Well, the things he told us about. And Allegra made them almost real so we could all be there again, just like she used to do when she was a psychiatrist. The stories and the places and the things.
Sounds like it was really something.
It was nothing. It was all in the tears that wash your eyes and the humming in your ears and the taste of your own saliva. It was just a hallucination, Vime. It wasn't real. But that thing I told you about, huge, alive and dead at the same time, like a star, way in another galaxy, well, he's seen it. And last night, it wasn't real, of course, but I almost heard it, singing.
His eyes were huge and green and bright. I felt envious of anyone who could pull this reaction from kids like Allegra and Ratlet.
So we decided after he went back to sleep and we lay awake talking a while longer that we'd try and help him get back out there. Because it's wonderful.
That's fascinating. When I finished my call, I stood up from the desk. I'd been sitting on the corner. After work, I'll buy you dinner and you can tell me about the things he showed you.
He's still there at Allegra's. I'm going right back after work.
Oh. I didn't seem to be invited.
It's just a shame that he's so stupid.
He glanced at the mess that had been a golden staining the concrete and shook his head. I'd gone back to the books when Sandy stepped in.
All finished. What say we knock off for a beer or something, huh, boss?
All right. I was surprised. Sandy was usually as social as he was handsome. Want to talk about something?
Yeah.
That business this morning got to your head, huh?
Yeah.
There is a reason. Come on, let's go. It's got something to do with the psychological part of being a golden. Meanness and stupidity, like everybody says. But however it makes them act here, it protects them from complete insanity at the 20,000 light-year limit.
Yeah, I know. But that's not what I wanted to talk about.
It isn't?
Uh-uh.
Well?
It's that kid. The one you're going to give the ship to.
Ratlet?
Yeah.
And I haven't made up my mind about giving him the ship. Besides, legally it's yours.
You'll give it to him. And I don't care. I mean, not about the ship. But, boss, I gotta talk to you about that kid boy.
Something about Sandy. I'd never realized he'd thought of Ratlet as more than a general nuisance. Also, he seemed sincerely worried about me. I was curious. It took him all the way to the bar and through two beers, while I drank hot milk and honey, before he tongued and chewed what he wanted to say into shape.
Boss, understand. I'm nearer Ratlet than you. Not only my age. My life's been more like his than yours has. You look at him like a son. To me, he's a younger brother. I taught him all the tricks. I don't understand him completely, but I see him clearer than you do. He's had a hard time, but not as hard as you think. He's gonna take you, and I don't mean money, for everything he can.
Where the hell that came from, I didn't know, and I didn't like. He won't take me for anything I don't want to give.
Boss, you got kids of your own?
9. Did have. I don't see the ones who are left now, for which their parents have always been just as happy. Except one, and she was sensible enough to go along with the rest. While she was alive.
Oh.
Sandy got quiet again. Suddenly he went scrambling in his overall pouch and pulled out a 3-inch portapix. Those great, greasy hands I was teaching to pick up an eggshell through a 500-to-1 ratio Waldo were clumsily fumbling at the push-pull levers.
I got kids. See? 7 of them.
And on the portapix screen was a milling, giggling group of little apes that couldn't have been anybody else's. While the younger one laughed was acne. They began to wave and the speaker in the back chirped.
Doc, Mommy says to say we love you. Doc, come home soon.
I'm not with them now. But I'm going back as soon as I get enough money so I can take them all out of that hellhole they're in now and get a whole family with a decent-sized pro group. There are only 23 adults there now, and things were beginning to rub. That's why I left in the first place. It was getting so nobody could talk to anybody else. That's pretty rough on all our kids. 32 when I left. But soon I'll be able to fix that.
On the salary I'm paying you? This was the first I'd heard of any of this. That was my first reaction. My second, which I didn't voice, was, then why the hell don't you take that ship and sell it somehow? Over 40 and self-employed, the most romantic become monetarily practical. Sandy's fist came down hard on the bar.
That's what I'm trying to say to you, boss. About you, about Ratlet. You've all got it in your heads that this out here is it. Finito. The end. Sure, you got to accept limitations, but the right ones. Sure, you have to admit there are certain directions which you cannot go. But once you do that, you find there are others where you can go as far as you want. Look, I'm not going to hang around a star pit all my life. And if I can make my way back towards Galactic Center, make enough money so I can get home, raise my family the way I want, that's going forward. Forward even from here, not back.
All right. Quiet Sandy, it surprised me. I still wondered why he wasn't breaking his tail to get salvage on that ship that had just fallen into his hands, if getting back home with money in his pocket was that important. I'm glad you told me about yourself. Now, how does all this tie up with Ratlet?
Yeah, Ratlet.
He put the portapix back in his overall pouch.
Boss, Ratlet is the kid your own could be. You want to give him the advice, friendship, and concern he's never had, that you couldn't give yours. But Ratlet is also the kid I was about 10 years ago. Started no place, with no destination, and no values to help figure out the way. Mixed up in all the wrong things, mainly because he's not sure where the right ones are.
I don't think you're that much like Ratlet. I think you may wish you were. You've done a lot of things Ratlet's done. Ever write a novel?
I tried to write a trilogy. It was lousy. But it pushed some things off my chest, so I got something out of it even if nobody else did, which is what's important. Because now I'm a better mechanic for it, boss. Until I admit to myself what I can't do, it's pretty hard to work on what I can. Same goes for Ratlet. You too. That's growing up. And one thing you can't do is help Ratlet by giving him a ship he can't fly.
Growing up brought back the picture. Sandy, did you ever build an ecologerium when you were a kid?
No.
The word had the puzzled inflection that means, don't even know what one is. I didn't either. Then I grinned and punched him in the shoulder. Maybe you're a little like me, too. Let's get back to work.
Another thing.
Sandy didn't look very happy as he got off the stool.
Boss, that kid's gonna hurt you. I don't know how, but it's gonna seem like he hunted for how to make it hurt most, too. That's what I wanted to tell you, boss.
I was going to urge him to take the ship, but he handed me the keys back in the hangar before I could say anything and walked away. When people who should be clearing up their own problems start giving you advice, well, there was something about Sandy I didn't like.